For now, though, we are going to come now to the most important part of our time. Seeing each other is great, but the key element of our time together is to hear God speak to us. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to encourage you to open your Bibles now or open the app on your phone to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read two sections out of this long chapter. We're going to start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 1. Verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I have preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Jump down now to verse 51. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is God's word to us.
A really good morning to everyone. It's great to see you all, or at least to be able to see your eyes and your hair. It's a bit of a pity, isn't it, that we can't see each other fully face to face. But I'm hoping that in the coming weeks we will be able to do that in a greater way. This is by far the biggest crowd I've seen in a long time. And it's a great chance for us to look around the room just to see this is what SLE Church is like usually. But even so, over the last 4 or 5 years, where we had 2 services in SLE, we haven't been able to be together like this in the past. So this is indeed a rare opportunity. There are probably about 50 to 60 other people that aren't able to join us today. So it'd be great one day to be able to see everybody who's part of SLE Church. And certainly we will be doing that in heaven. This will be cutting out once in a while, so hopefully you can fill in the blanks. Human brains are great. You can hear or read partial words and it'll pick me up. So hopefully that will not be too distracting. All right, let's see if this one is better. All right, once again, if you don't have a Bible and you like one, please raise your hands and wave it around. I'll wave back, but you'll also be getting a Bible in your hands as you do that, okay? So we've got heaps of Bibles to give away. We'll be looking through this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 as we think about the significance, the power of Easter Sunday. So please join me now as I pray for us. As we look into this passage. Actually, before we do that, I should introduce myself, shouldn't I? I don't think Steve did either. So that's Stephen. I'm not sure if he introduced himself. He's one of the pastors of SLE Church. My name is Ben. I'm the senior pastor. And if I have not met you yet, I would love to meet you. At least come and say hello to me later on. I'll be hanging around somewhere. Everyone keeps saying to me, I keep seeing you on TV. All right, I've seen you many times, but it's really sad for me because I've never seen some of you guys. And I'd love to meet you face to face for the first time. But more important thing than meeting me is to sit under God's word and hear God speak and meet Jesus in his word. So let's pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do give you great thanks for the opportunity to gather in this way on this Easter Sunday. But even more importantly and even better still, we get to be reminded about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that it is true, that it really happened, and the fact that we really, really need for Jesus to have been raised from the dead. So wherever we are today, whether we are far away from you, whether we are drawing near, seeking to understand the Christian faith, whether we are new Christians or been Christians a long, long time, we pray that your word will speak to us powerfully and in a blessed and joyful way. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Working on the technical things. All right, now this is the outline of the sermon today. If you want to follow along, it's a very simple outline. But if you want to download the bulletin, you can go to sle.church/bulletin-latest. If that you can remember that, sle.church/bulletin-latest. But here's the outline for today's sermon. Now, even more important than whether the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened or not is the fact that we need the resurrection of Jesus to be true. Right? More important than the fact of whether he rose from the dead or not is the fact that we need for Jesus' resurrection to be true. Right? That's right, we need for the resurrection of Jesus to be true. Because firstly, we live life in the dark shadow of death. We live life in the dark shadow of death. Death is our daily experience. Death will come to all of us one day, and then after death, we will face judgment, and then eternal death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our only hope in this life that is filled with death. It is the only way that death can be defeated. So if you're not a Christian yet today, and you're here, I especially want to invite you to know and understand this glorious truth and perhaps come to put your trust in Jesus Christ for the first time. So glad that you came today, and I hope that you'll come to know and trust Jesus today. Now, the second thing is, we want to be able to live a life that is full of meaning and purpose, or at least, we want to live a life that has meaning and purpose. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only guarantee, right, the only guarantee that this life has meaning and purpose. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that what we do now in this life for the gospel will mean something because it will carry on past this life into eternity. And so for Christians here today, I really want us to be inspired and encouraged to keep serving Jesus, to keep doing the work of the gospel. We really need for the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be true. And thankfully, like really, really thankfully, there is great reason to believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is indeed true. Now, the story of Jesus Christ is a fact of history, not a fiction of myth. It's a fact of history, not a fiction of myth. If you believe in the pharaohs of Egypt, if you can see that in this bright room, or if you believe in the existence of the Caesars of Rome, if you believe in the existence of people like Plato and Aristotle and accept what they teach about philosophy, then you can have more certainty that a man called Jesus of Nazareth really lived, really died, and really rose again. Because Jesus is as real as they are. In fact, the documentary evidence for Jesus is greater than for all of those people put together, right? The documentary evidence. But more importantly, Jesus' impact on history is greater than any person who's ever lived. Greater than any pharaoh, any Caesar, any Greek philosopher. Jesus of history is of greater impact than any other human person has ever lived. It is a fact of history that Jesus lived and died. Right, no legitimate historian can ever deny that. But even the resurrection, I believe, we can trust. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8. You follow on the screen or you can read in your Bibles. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And so we hear what Paul says here, that Jesus died in accordance with the Scriptures. It wasn't something that kind of happened out of the blue, unexpectedly, without warning. In fact, Jesus himself had predicted many times while he was alive that he would die and that he would be raised from the dead. The Jewish authorities who put Jesus to death knew Jesus' prediction that he would rise from the dead. And so when Jesus died, they made sure that Jesus' resurrection could not be faked. And so Jesus had been buried inside this tomb with this huge stone put around it. And then they had gotten the Roman soldiers, the Roman government, to put soldiers to stand guard to make sure that no one would be able to steal the body. But you know, the Jewish people, the Roman soldiers, they didn't have to bother really, because the disciples of Jesus, the friends of Jesus, were not really in the right frame of mind and not really in the mood to do so. If you know the story about the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus, the disciples all ran away fearful of their lives. They thought it was all over. This Messiah that they were following had been put to death. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Besides, what's the point of stealing a dead man's body, pretending that he had risen from the dead, and then risking their entire lives for a lie? Why would they have bothered to steal the body, stolen the body, and kept preaching the gospel, and then died for their faith? Now here in 1 Corinthians, no more than 20 to 30 years after Jesus' death, Paul himself, part of the authorities, the Jewish authorities that hated Jesus and put Jesus to death, writes simply in verses 4 to 8 that Jesus rose from the dead, that he appeared to individuals, and that he appeared to groups, and he even appeared before 500 men. And then Paul says, you know, some of these guys, they've died, as you expect, 20, 30 years later, but many of them are still alive. Go and ask them. Ask them what they saw. Go and ask a few of them. Let them tell you what they saw. Jesus Christ clearly died. He was buried and guarded in a sealed up tomb. And yet, after that, 3 days later, he was walking around. He stopped and chatted to people. He ate food and drank drinks with people and his friends. Now, how do you know that something isn't a myth? Well, because the resurrection is backed by eyewitness testimony, even from a once hater like Paul. Now, in the court of law, quite a bit of weight is given to eyewitness accounts. But we know that what one person thinks that they see can be very questionable, right? It can be flawed, easily manipulated. However, if multiple witnesses see the same thing and testify to it, even when they're put under great pressure and threat to deny it, even when an enemy who does not want to believe and testify to this testifies to it, well, it's a different story, isn't it? There's great reason to believe in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can believe that it really happened. Now, I'd urge for you, if you don't yet know about this, if you're not yet convinced, to go and find out more, to go and read and learn and discover. Because there is much that we can learn and be certain about in terms of the resurrection. But like I said at the beginning, even more important than whether the resurrection really happened or not, and we have good reason to believe that it happened, even more important is that we need for it to be true. We need for the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be true. We need the resurrection to be true because we need Jesus to deal with our problem of death. Now, the most famous psalm of all, you don't know what it is, the most famous psalm, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 describes life as being lived as walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Anyone familiar with that phrase? Life is a life lived walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I find it is a really striking line because it nails, doesn't it, what life is like. In our sober moments, when we stop and think and feel about what it's like to really live, to live in this world, isn't it so true that we walk in the valley of the shadow of death? We experience death in so many ways. Right back to almost the beginning of this world, death entered into our world and into our experience. Paul says this, doesn't he, verse 21. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now you may or may not believe in the man, the historical man called Adam. You may or may not believe in Adam, but you certainly experience life in the dark shadow of Adam. We're all born into a world of death, disease, and dysfunction because we are born into a world where sin has entered through Adam. In this sin-broken world, we experience death in so many ways, don't we? In our own lives, you know, biologically, cells are literally dying at this very moment. Right, sloughing off into the chair, onto the floor. You notice all the dust in the world is basically dead cells, right, of human beings and other living things. Our bodies are breaking down. In our mental and our emotional struggles, some days don't we feel like we're dying slowly on the inside? We feel the pain of broken relationships. Relationships, they fade away, and we do and we say things that kill the relationships that we have around us. We see death in the lives of those around us as well, don't we? We see loved ones get sick. And if we live long enough, we see loved ones die, many of them, all of them eventually. We see soul-destroying tragedy and trauma befall people. We see self-destructive behaviors destroy lives. Then we also see death in the world that we live. How can we not? We are living proof, aren't we? The amount of effort it takes to gather here today, the amount of spacing that we need to have, the fact that we have to wear masks, we live in a COVID world. We're living in the middle of a pandemic, and no matter how much you try, the constant daily shadow of COVID hangs over our heads. And that's just COVID. Not to mention cancer and other things that are wrong with our bodies and with our world. We live in a world of natural and man-made disasters and crisis and calamities. From climate change to corruption, from discrimination to global debt. All of this is part of living life in this sin-broken world. And all of this flows out in some way from having a broken relationship with God. Now, when we talk about a broken relationship with God, I don't think we always think very hard about what that means. Right? It's one of those catchphrases, a broken relationship with God, sin. What does it actually mean, and what does it actually look like? Well, let me try to explain, right? The different ways that we have a broken relationship with God. Now, it could be a total denial of God. Right? We're atheists, and we simply do not believe that God, any God, exists. It could be a distorted view of God. Right? We believe or we deny a God that isn't truly God. We have some weird view of God. It could be that we distance ourselves from God. We believe that He exists, but we just don't want Him involved in our lives and in our world. It could be that we have a dysfunctional relationship with God. We see God perhaps as a distant and cold father, or a restricting disciplinarian, or a harsh and unfair judge. It could be that we treat God with disdain. Right, we dismiss God, His character, His plans. Yeah, I know all that, but I think it's stupid. Who is God, and why do I need Him in my life? Or it could be disobedience to God. I know God, I know His ways, but I don't, or I won't, or I simply can't obey Him. When we treat God in any of these ways, this is what the Bible calls sin. This is how we break our relationship with God. This is what Adam did right back at the beginning of creation, and is what every human being has done ever since. And because God is the source and the giver and the sustainer of life, and in all of its glorious living fullness, then to have a broken relationship with God is to experience death. It's to experience death. That's what Paul means when he says that in Adam, all die. Like Adam, we sin against God. In Adam, we experience death daily. In Adam, we will all face the end of physical life, death. But then in Adam, we will also face judgment from God and suffer everlasting death. We walk in the shadow of the valley of death, and so we desperately, desperately need Jesus. We desperately need His resurrection from the dead. Yes, by Adam, death came into the world, but by Jesus comes the resurrection from the dead. Yes, in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus' death on the cross deals with our problem of sin. And His resurrection from the dead proves that sin has been dealt with. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus' resurrection gives death the big up yours. Right? It's the world's greatest kind of fist pump of victory, right? The double-handed raise. Take that, death. Jesus has conquered. Up from the grave He arose, we sing. Death has been defeated. In Jesus, for those who trust in Jesus and put their faith in Him, in Jesus, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not fear death. We do not fear the experience of daily death in this life, in whatever form that it takes. In Christ, even life now is being transformed. Did you know that? As we grow to understand God's purposes and plans, as we grow in our godly character, as we become more like Christ, as we live our godly lives, we begin to live again. We begin to live again. We are being made new. We're experiencing healing and restoration from the inside out. We are drawing near to our life giver, to our life sustainer, as He draws near to us. We get to enjoy peace and joy and hope, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death that this world is. This can be our present and is our present experience of being made alive in Christ. And as we approach the end of our physical life, we do not have to fear physical death, because death will now just be like a sleep that we wake up from. It will just be like a sleep that we wake up from. And when we awake from this sleep called death, we will awake to an eternal life with God in all of its glorious goodness, the goodness, the fullness of life that God created and saved us to live. We do not fear death because we can be sure that we will stand on that last day of judgment. And so we will not fear the second death, the eternal death. We will stand forgiven in Jesus. His death and resurrection will guarantee our life eternal. You hear that? In Christ, we shall all be made alive. Now, I know in a group this big, there are probably a handful of us who have not yet put our trust in Jesus Christ. Can I invite you to really consider this good news that Jesus Christ has defeated death, and in Him you shall be made alive? I know that you know that we live a life that is filled with death. Will you come to the one who has defeated death? Will you come to Christ and be made alive again? Now, the second big reason why we really need the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be true is because only the resurrection of Jesus gives us meaning and purpose in this life. Now, Paul's logic in verse 13 and 14 is very simple. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Now, Paul approaches this from the negative perspective, doesn't he? If Christ wasn't resurrected, then the Christian faith and Christian ministry, gospel preaching, is pointless, totally pointless, a complete waste of time. Completely wasted your morning coming here. Completely wasted all the time that you spend getting this Easter Sunday service put together. Right, Faye spent about, I think, 30 hours doing that video this week. And then all the amount of time that the rest of the family was helping and cleaning up and setting things up, all a waste of time. If Christ did not rise from the dead. But it's not just the Christian life. It's not just the Christian life that is meaningless if Christ did not rise from the dead. All life would be meaningless. Because no resurrection means that there is no life after death. It means that this life is all that there is. Think about that for a moment. This life is all that there is if there is no resurrection from the dead. If we're just going to die at the end, and that's it, then what we do now in this life doesn't matter, does it? If this life is all that there is, then we will do, we can do, we ought to do whatever suits us, whatever pleases us. You can do good, you can do bad, you can do weird, you can do wonderful. What does it matter what you do in this life? There'll never be any long-lasting consequences. Whatever good or whatever harm that you do to yourself, it will all be over one day anyway, right? Whatever good or whatever bad that you do to others, well, they'll die and they'll get over it. If Christ has not been raised and there is no life after death, then whatever you and I do in this life, whatever faith and trust and joy we have about anything, well, it's all in vain. It's all meaningless. None of it matters. I don't know about you, but I find this utterly depressing, demotivating, and devastatingly devoid of meaning, if this is the way life is. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees that life is not mortal and not meaningless. The resurrection of Jesus means that life is immortal and that it is meaningful. It doesn't just end, it keeps going. What we do now doesn't just end one day, it will echo and carry on into eternity without end. And so the Christian faith and the Christian message And Christian ministry isn't pointless. It isn't a complete waste of time. In fact, it's the total opposite, isn't it? To trust Jesus and to do his work is the biggest point of this life. It is the most meaningful thing. It is our greatest purpose. And once again, if you're not a Christian, not yet a Christian, I really hope that you will actually consider, really consider, seriously consider Jesus' resurrection. Because if you believe in Jesus and his resurrection, you will find that life has meaning and purpose. But I really want to end this message with a message for the Christians here. We really need for the reality of Jesus' resurrection to hit us hard once again. Paul concludes this chapter in this glorious way. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You see, no resurrection, all in vain. Jesus' resurrection? Well, not in vain. What isn't in vain? Well, our labor in the Lord isn't in vain. Jesus' resurrection calls us to renew our efforts to serve him, to share the gospel, to grow people in Christ. Anything and everything that we do that points people to Jesus, no matter how small or how big, that helps people to know Jesus and to trust Jesus and to grow and live in Jesus, has eternal consequences. Anything and everything that we do to help people to know Jesus, trust Jesus, grow in Jesus, live for Jesus, it will carry on into eternity. So please, don't get discouraged by life that we live in the shadow of death. Yes, it can be very demotivating, struggling with our own daily inner struggles and demons. Yes, it can be very difficult to battle all kinds of dramas that are happening every day in our homes, in our school, in our workplaces. It can be very tiring and very discouraging dealing with the effects of a broken world that seems to make life so very hard. Now, these past few weeks has been a real struggle, hasn't it? This past few days, the lockdown that happened on Monday, the likelihood of Good Friday and the Easter services being cancelled. I don't know about you, but I felt so deflated. I felt like it was so futile. Why do we even bother putting in all this effort? In the WhatsApp message group for planning Good Friday and Easter Sunday service, I reckon there's about 500 messages. Why did I bother trawling through all those messages? Why did Serene bother writing 300 of those messages, right? Why do we bother not organizing the hall and paying the money and getting everything sorted this week? To have planned for so much and to have that all put at risk, to see it all go wasted. But you know what? As I thought about the lockdown and I wasn't sure if it was going to be lifted, as I was preparing this message, I realized that none of that would have been in vain. None of that would have been in vain. As long as we still celebrated Good Friday and Easter Sunday, as long as we did that in some way, shape, or form, on our own or with other people, as long as we still sang, as long as we still praised, as long as we still thanked God for the gospel, whether it was in church or in homes here or on our own, as long as the word of God, as long as the gospel was still being preached, then the work of the Lord was still being done. None of it would have been in vain. Now, it didn't stop me from shedding some tears of joy on Thursday morning, right, as I was hanging there refreshing my browser to see what news would be for today. But none of it, if it had been cancelled, would have been in vain. I know some of us are finding life hard at the moment. Maybe you're finding ministry hard. Tired? I'm sure many of you are. Jaded? Worn out? Perhaps wanting to give up? If so, remember that the work of the Lord is not in vain. Because Jesus has risen. Death has been defeated, which means that eternity awaits. So be steadfast, right? Keep at it. Be immovable, stay strong. Always abounding, do it more and more in the work of the Lord. Keep praying for your unbelieving parents, your brother or your sister, your daughter or your son, your neighbor, your colleague. Keep praying for their salvation. Keep inviting people to church. Inviting people to explore Christianity with you. Probably you've been rejected many times. Maybe you sent many messages, made many phone calls in the past week, inviting them to Good Friday service at your home, inviting them to Easter Sunday service today. Don't be discouraged. Keep inviting. Keep reading the Bible with your children. Even when you're tired, even when they seem disinterested, keep coming to church. Keep coming to fellowship group. Keep turning up to grow yourself and to be an encouragement to others. Keep on serving and keep on leading. Press on in Christian service, in ministry, and in training. Darius, keep training, right, to be minister. Keep that fire going for evangelism and for mission work, right? Keep that fire going. Keep meeting people one-to-one to read the Bible. Keep contributing to church life in a way that allows God's word to be taught and for God's people to grow. Why? Because Jesus has risen. Because Jesus has risen. And all of this, no matter how small or how big, all of this means something. It is not in vain. Remember that what we do in our work for the Lord will last into eternity. Anything and everything that we do, no matter how small, that helps people to know Jesus, trust Jesus, grow in Jesus, and live for Jesus, has eternal consequences. Now, this life is a walk, I think, through the valley of the shadow of death. It's our daily experience, and we need a way out of this life of death. We desperately need for Jesus' resurrection to be true. And hallelujah, praise be to God, it is true. This life, if this life is all that there is, will be totally devoid of meaning and purpose. We need for there to be more than this life. We need for this life, for there to be life after death. We desperately need for Jesus' resurrection to be true. And hallelujah, praise be to God, it is. So in Christ is life. He is our only hope in life and death. So put your trust in Him today. Find life's meaning in Him today. Keep laboring in the work of the Lord today and the days to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we indeed give you great thanks for your mercy and grace that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to live as a man, to die on a cross for our sins, and to be raised from the dead. In his resurrection, the life of sin and death in Adam has been defeated. Through his resurrection from the dead, it guarantees that life is eternal, immortal, and everlasting. Please help us to realize that we need for Jesus' resurrection to be true. And we give you great thanks that his resurrection is a fact of history. It is something that we can explore and discover and investigate. Please help us to see that we can trust in the resurrection of Jesus. But more importantly, please help us to see that we need him to be raised from the dead. As we experience life lived in the valley of the shadow of death, as we experience death in a daily way, in so many different ways, as we all know, we will face the end of life, physical death, and as we consider the eternal death that comes after judgment, help us to see why we need Jesus and to put our trust in him. As we live a life searching, desperately seeking for purpose and meaning, help us to see that if life, this life, is all that there is, then there is no meaning. But if Jesus has risen from the dead and there is life eternal, then to trust in him and to serve him, help us to see that that is the meaning and purpose of life. For us as believers, help us to press on in doing your work. We may be tired and jaded and discouraged in many ways, but we pray for your strength and for your renewed energy today. For the gospel of Jesus Christ's life, we give you great thanks for this in Jesus' most precious name.